It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway right here on Fan Run Radio. I'm Russell Smith. He's Bear. John Tyler sliding in to the hot seat for the Top 4 at 4 this afternoon, which are brought to you by our friends at WaveTech Medical. Catch the wave today online, wavetechmedical.com. Jonathan.
Number one, Ed Ogeron and LSU have agreed to a six-year contract extension valued at more than $42 million in total. Ogeron is 40-9 since taking over at LSU and is 11-1 in his last 12 games against the top 10 opponents.
I've had a question that has been gnawing at me. I've been waiting to ask you all day.
Me?
Yeah. How much they give him? Have you seen on social media?
6 years, $42 million, yeah. Roughly $7 million a year.
But how everybody's just acting like, you know, Ogeron's some kind of saint.
Coaching savant.
Yeah, and that, you know, how happy they are for just this humble guy from Louisiana. And all I can remember is him calling Tennessee players and telling them not to go to class.
Yeah,
they've completely redone his image.
Okay, so I think that's fair, and he used to be a wild man. He's still a wild man. I think he's matured a little bit since that Tennessee incident. It's hard to believe it's been over 10 years ago. I would like to think that here's my thing about Ogeron. Where's he going to go? That's the only place. He doesn't want to be anywhere else. Nobody would even bother to call him if they had an opening, right? So why the need to open up like, I understand you won a national championship, you're going to get rewarded handsomely, but do you really have to break the bank at $7 million a year? Like, I don't. These schools just do not understand the concept of leverage at all. Everybody's like, oh, Jeremy Pruitt, he went 7-5. He rescued the season. He won the Gator Bowl. He's going to get a big raise. Why? Oh, he's only the 12th highest paid coach in the league. That's got to change. Why? Did I miss a memo where somebody's trying to beat down the door to hire Jeremy Pruitt away from us? If he comes out
in his second year, was firmly on the hot seat after losing two games that he should not have lost.
If he comes, he's making almost $4 million a year. It's not the guy is not struggling to get by.
He's the highest paid state employee.
If he comes out and throws up a 9-3 or better next year, then he deserves a nice raise. But why do we have to get? Oh, you have to take care of him. Have to take care of him? He was a career assistant coach who's now making almost $4 million a year.
We gave him generational wealth for him and his family.
I know they're going to do it, and I know it's the cost of doing business or whatever BS thing is the no, it's not. It's the cost of being stupid with your money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
this is how you get to paying Butch Jones $5 million a year for nothing.
The reason I wanted to ask you, because I was going to give you another chance with this big contract. I mean, do you think he's going to be able to maintain this? Because you were the one who always said that, you know, this would end in disaster.
Well, I'm surprised that he has been successful. He won a national championship. He's been successful. Nobody can argue against that. Now, I find it odd that all these scandals that they've had in their football and basketball program are just being swept under the rug. It's like, don't bring that up, hater. It's like, why? You'd bring it up if it happened to Tennessee. But he has been successful. I don't think it's going to be a precipitous drop-off. They're not going to have another season like that again. I mean, that was one of the best teams in college football history. They will take a step back, I would imagine. Is he going to fall off the table and go, you know, 8-4, 7-5, 6-6, and then they all want to fire him? I don't know. But all I know is you didn't have to give him a 49 or whatever it was, million-dollar contract. That's stupid. Especially for a school that every time I hear is like, oh, the state of Louisiana is cash-strapped, this, that, the other. It's anyway, I've completely hijacked the top 4 at 4.
Sorry.
That was only number one, but continue on, John.
Number two, number 23, Lady Vols took a 31-28 lead into halftime last night against UConn, but couldn't hang on, falling to number 3 UConn in front of a crowd of 13,000 at the XL Center last night, 60-45. Tennessee had 26 turnovers.
20 first half.
Well, you're playing the best team. And I'll say this, man. I watched the first half, and then once I watched the beginning of the third quarter, and once it became apparent what was happening, I went on with some other things. But even the first half, I'll be honest, I did not really notice the turnovers as far as like, oh my God, this is a – because I just understood what we were up against. This is the college women's college basketball machine of the past 25 years. And we are in – rebuilding year doesn't even begin to describe it. So, like, they're pressuring us. They're longer than us. They're in better shape than us. They're more skilled than us. They're just a better team in just about every facet. And I was shocked that we were winning. I mean, we were playing great defense. We were rebounding really well. We were making open shots. Did we have trouble holding on to the basketball against their pressure? Yes. But to me, somebody who's watched a lot of women's basketball, and I don't, and I'm not trying to be condescending here, but I don't feel like a lot of the people who are hot taking that we stunk it up last night have watched a lot of women's basketball. It is a different sport than the men's game. And I was very impressed with the effort. I really was.
I think the moment got to them after halftime. They realized, holy crap, we're beating.
You think so?
I think we're beating them. Let's get – and they just got tight. And then they
– Maybe I'm oversimplifying. I honestly think we got tired.
I think we
expended so much energy playing so well in the first half. I think we ran out of gas.
Yeah, I don't know what – I just didn't – I wasn't that impressed with UConn.
The turnovers, I don't think the turnovers were necessarily UConn. Yeah, I think it was us just
turning
the ball over.
One girl threw the ball like 10 rows up in the seats.
Yeah, a lot of it was just us.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we're as far off in that, but it's just kind of hard to watch.
Number three, the Tennessee men's basketball team hits the road for its non-conference finale against third-ranked Kansas inside Allen Fieldhouse Saturday afternoon. Tip-off is slated for 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Kansas will be without two of their players, DeSosa and McCormick.
What does success look like tomorrow? I think we kicked this around a little bit yesterday, but
winning.
There's no like just. Keeping it, not getting blown out.
No, I mean, no. Second place, first loser. You either win or you lose.
Do you expect to win?
I expect Tennessee to win every time they take whatever court, field, pitch, ice, in any kind of athletic competition.
What?
You know I do.
That's
back when I was a call. You used to call for us to whip Alabama back during the Dooley years.
That's dumb.
No.
That's dumb. Whoa. Yes.
You expected
Derek Dooley to walk out there and beat Nick Saban?
I don't expect anybody wearing orange to walk out there and roll over. No, I expect to win.
That's not what I asked. Yes, we expect great effort always, but
there's no victory out of last night.
I mean,
and like, none to be had tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the program is and should be past the point of moral victories, but I think we're clearly, you look at the three key factors in any sporting event to me, who has better players? Kansas. Who has better coach? Probably a wash there. Where is the game being played? Who has home court advantage? Kansas. I don't expect to win. Man, we could. It's possible, but I think it's highly unlikely. To me, I just wanted to get drilled, man. Like I think that would be a bad look to go up there and get, you know, a 20-point beatdown. I would like to put some pressure on them in the second half and make them earn it.
Number four, NBA All-Star starters were released. The East, Trae Young, Joel Embiid, Giannis, Pascal Siakam, and Kemba Walker. And then the West, Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, LeBron, Kawhi, James Harden are your starters for each East and West All-Stars. Do you care?
Quite honestly, I'm a little miffed. Little perturbed.
Yeah?
Yeah. I want to know why Josh Richardson didn't make the All-Star team.
Because he's Josh Richardson.
Exactly. Josh Richardson had come from Kentucky or one of the Blue Bloods, he'd
argument?
Be on the All-Star team.
What's his argument, Bear?
He's playing fantastic this year.
No, give me some stats to back up.
I just see he's all over ESPN's highlights every time they show the Sixers. It's a glorified beauty pageant. The All-Star Game in the NBA does not matter at all. It's just a beauty pageant.
It's a popularity contest.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Why don't you give me some arguments that Josh Richardson shouldn't be in the All-Star Game there?
Well, I'm no expert on the subject, but isn't he like a role player on that team? He's maybe their third best player, probably their fourth, fifth best player. Who are the best players? Embiid, Tobias.
Yeah, Tobias.
Ben Simmons.
I'd
then Josh Richardson.
Okay. I'd take Jay Rich before any of the rest of those.
Well, you can't have four. You can't
before
have
Tobias.
Yeah, he was only here for a year. I don't love him as much as I love Josh.
Josh Richardson is averaging 15 points a game, which ranks him 73rd in the NBA.
That's why he's not a All-Star. Fair.
You guys are number one in my book.
You asked.
I asked.
That is the top four at four. It's brought to you by our friends at WaveTech Medical. Gentlemen, you've heard us talking about how you need to catch the wave if you're suffering from erectile dysfunction, if ED is wreaking havoc on your love life. You don't have to just accept that. You can wave goodbye to trouble in the bedroom with WaveTech Medical. Contact WaveTech today and set up your free consultation. Their phone number is 865-761-4401. That's right. Their offices are located right here in Knoxville. That's 761-4401. Or you can just go online to wavetechmedical.com. That's wavetechmedical.com. WaveTech Medical right here in Knoxville. Quick timeout. When we continue, Joe Rexroad of The Athletic is going to join us, hopefully. This is when all the trouble started, when we tried to get Joe on the other day.
Yes.
And so hopefully we have the segment we should have had with him like 2 or 3 days ago. Stay tuned. It's The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio continues. Russell Smith back in the hot seat with you on a Friday afternoon edition of the show. Let's get Joe Rexroad from The Athletic.
We don't have Joe.
Oh, we don't?
No.
Who were you just talking to?
Another guy named Joe, apparently.
What? I don't understand. Did you call the wrong Joe?
Apparently I did.
But who did you call?
I dialed the same number I always dial. But it was a guy like, imagine Midwestern Titans Bill is what this Joe sounded like. It's not our Joe. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to try again.
Yeah, you do that. How does...
Nice.
I'm so confused right now. I saw you talking to somebody.
And yeah, it was
like,
Joe.
He said, hey, Joe. Yeah, hang on.
Yeah. And he goes, I don't think this is a Joe you're looking for.
These are not the Joe. It was like a Jedi mind trick or something he's playing.
Hell, I don't know. I dialed the number right.
Okay, well, go call Joe Rexroad. I mean, what are the chances? You just like wrong number and it happens to be Joe.
What is happening?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't have my readers on. I couldn't see the number.
Okay, well, just do what you got to do.
It's like an old lady.
Just do what you got
to
do.
I didn't have my readers on to see what I was doing.
All right, do we have him now? Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, it works. Sorry about last time, buddy.
Oh, that's all right. It's usually some kind of malfunction on my end, so.
Oh, Joe was like, this is the best, my best Knoxville radio appearance I've ever had. lasted all about 30 seconds. No, man. Good to hear from you. Now, am I reading your timeline right? Were you in Connecticut yesterday for the Lady Vols game?
I was not. No, okay. I wrote about it today. I do like a weekly hoops column at The Athletic, but no, I did not. I did not go cover the game.
What did you think, and you know, I'm far from a women's college basketball expert, but growing up in Knoxville, watched a lot of Pat Summitt basketball, a lot of Pat Summitt versus Gino Auriemma, and having watched a handful of games the past couple of years, I was impressed with what I saw out of Kelly Harper's squad, just in terms of the effort with and the organization, the attention to detail that they were playing with last night. I think they ran out of gas, but you know, it has just become a chaotic mess the past couple of years. And in my humble opinion, Joe, it looks like those problems are being corrected.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I was most impressed with, you know, defensively, like you could tell, I mean, they had UConn scouted perfectly, and so they knew who the shooters were and who the shooters weren't. And it was almost looked like a junk defense at times. But man, they were really giving them trouble in that first half with their length and you know their athleticism, but also with their plan. You could tell defensively they knew exactly what they wanted to do, and so I thought that was encouraging. You know, I mean, obviously 27 turnovers, I mean, it's just not going to get it done. And when you watch this Tennessee team, you do. I mean, look, you think about, man, what if like Avena Westbrook was still on the team, and you know, and you know, everything was harmonious, and she could be plugged into that lineup. That would be a big, big help. And obviously, Zay Green, I mean, that's a big loss. So, I mean, there's limitations, I think, because of, you know, guard play a little bit. I mean, I think Jordan Horson is going to be a heck of a player, and already is a good player. He's going to be really good someday. But I agree. I'm with you, Russell. I mean, I was impressed overall with the effort, and just I have been all year, you know, with how they've played. I think it's definitely some obvious improvements in some areas.
Yeah, and I think with basketball, college basketball, whether it's the men's game or the women's game, the examples of a Bruce Pearl come to Tennessee and taking a program that was on the rocks and being highly competitive immediately are few and far between. Usually it takes a year. Rick Barnes, his first 2 years were pretty lousy, and then it took off the third year. So it just, you know, you look at that game last night and there's a clear talent discrepancy. And, you know, Tennessee, luckily, I believe, I don't know, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Is Lady Vol basketball still a brand that will recruit itself? I know Kelly's going to work hard at it, obviously, but is that still a big brand on a national scale that will attract elite women's basketball talent?
I mean, I think so. You know, I mean, I know if you look at some of Holly Warlick's recruiting classes, you know, kids from all over the place.
Sure.
And really, now, you know, I don't know, like, how much of that was the name brand, you know, feeding itself, and how much of that was Holly. I don't know, but I feel like, I mean, again, look at last night. I mean, there's a lot of other good programs in women's college basketball, and there's a lot of coverage and a lot of things were made of that last night, you know, for good reason when you talk about Pat Summitt and what she did for the game. But I think the build up around this game, you know, stands out to me in that sport. You don't see it too often, and I think it's still, and obviously so much of that was Pat Geno. But I think it is also the brands of so many great players, so many great moments. I mean, you're talking about 8 national championships and, you know, facilities for a recruit. If you're investigating these programs, I can't imagine that you've got many better situations than what you've got, in those facilities in Knoxville. So I do think that it's still a very powerful brand on the recruiting trail.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic with us here this afternoon. Joe, what has the reaction been like in Nashville this week? Just everything at the Titans season. Obviously, Titans fans wish they were still playing, getting ready for a Super Bowl appearance, but it seems like the 10,000-foot view of Titans football is very positive right now.
Yeah, you know, I think it's I think obviously you've had some some regret. How many when you're up 10 in a AFC championship game, you know, and you're sitting there with a real chance, you know, to go to the Super Bowl. But also, I think mostly it's excitement, and of course the situation here is you immediately get into the, okay, how much is it going to cost to keep Derrick Henry? How much is it going to cost to keep Ryan Tannehill? Or, oh, can we get Tom Brady? You know, I mean, that's, Titans fans are kind of going through all those different things. But, yeah, it's I will say, I mean, just it's amazing. They've spent years, you know, John Robinson, Amy Adams-Strunk, now Mike Vrabel, before Mike Mularkey, you know, a long time trying to, you know, turn things around, restore respectability, you know, regain fans. I think a lot of people were alienated for one reason or another, and they've done a lot of good work on that over years, but like a couple weeks like that in the playoffs, just it's like a fast forward button. You know, it's just so much more powerful than, you know, the incremental progress that you make. And it does remind me a little bit of the Preds in 2017 getting to the Stanley Cup final. I mean, I think a lot of new fans were born in that run. I think a lot of maybe casual fans became more passionate fans. And it's the same thing. I mean, it's still all about the postseason and pro sports.
Joe, what do you think the future holds for Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, great question, Russell. You know, I don't think he's not going to go anywhere next year, I don't think, where it'll be like, okay, Marcus is the starter. You know, that's not going to happen. At some point down the line, could I see him maybe having like a Tannehill kind of revival? Yeah, I mean, I could. You know, I think he's you know, still really talented. He's still young. I mean, he's 26. You know, a big question with Marcus is, you know, injuries, health, but also how that translates to your mindset on the field, because I do think we saw the injuries, you know, affect him in the pocket as his career got a little later. I really am. I mean, some of the, and look, you can't blame him. As much as he got sacked this year before he got benched, my goodness, I mean, how do you not see ghosts every once in a while? But I think if you watch some games from now and go back to 2016, there's a different level of standing in there and, you know, delivering the ball with the rush all around you than there is now. He doesn't mean he can't get it back. I always thought, you know, Chicago would make sense for him because Mark Helfrich was there, but of course he's gone now. I still think that's a spot. You know, it's a place like that if you're him. I mean, I think for Ryan Tannehill, you'd never say it, but what did he like about Nashville? Probably that there was a vulnerable starter in place, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you're being honest with yourself, I mean that's an opportunity. So where could Marcus find something like that? I mean, I do think about Chicago and the idea of, you know, pushing Trubisky and then at some point maybe supplanting him. I would think it would be something like that. I know, you know, we had some debate in the press room a few weeks ago. Like, man, he might just like go to Hawaii, man, just live on the beach. But I don't think so.
Nah.
You know, the thing about Mariota is, you know, a really nice guy and all that, no doubt, great guy in the locker room, but also like, he's super, super competitive.
Sure.
And I think this has hurt him a lot, and I think he's got a big chip on his shoulder to prove people that he's an NFL starting quarterback.
Well, yeah, and he's got to be, you know, what, late 20s now. He knows that his athletic gifts are fleeting. I'm sure that he wants to, you know, He's also a smart guy. He realizes there's plenty of time to spend in Hawaii, but he needs to strike while the iron is hot. And I'm sure he'll make, you know, a decent payday next year. But anyway, Joe, Tennessee basketball plays at Kansas tomorrow. I alluded earlier to Rick Barnes the first couple of years, and Rick Barnes not a guy that's ever going to go into any basketball game not expecting his team to win. I don't expect Tennessee to win tomorrow. What does success for the Vols look like at Allen Fieldhouse?
Well, I don't expect them to win either. I also wouldn't call it some crazy impossible mission. I mean, there's just no one in college basketball this year to me that is dominant or, you know, overwhelming. Now, that is an incredible arena and home court advantage. Kind of a weird, you know, kind of a weird situation right now coming off that fight and everything. But, and, you know, a couple reserves suspended for the game. I mean, D'Souza's a very talented guy. That's not a big deal in this game. I think if Tennessee is competitive and it's a good game for 40 minutes and they lose a competitive game, I mean, I think that's even a situation where, you know, the NCAA committee, yeah, they go through all the numbers and they slice and dice everything and it's, you know, the NET rankings, all this stuff, but they also, I mean, they sit there for days and they go through everything. And, you know, if you're Tennessee and you go in there and you play a good game, that's something that'll be talked about. I mean, that can help Tennessee to go into an environment like that against a team with that much talent and hang in there. So, I think that would be a good step. I look at this Tennessee team and I still think like we're a few weeks from kind of knowing what it could be, you know, with these new pieces in place. And, you know, some young guys, you know, Josiah James to me is starting to come on and starting to understand, you know, how to attack better and play with more confidence. So I still think this team's quite a ways from its ceiling. If it could play this game in a month, maybe, you know, you'd feel better about the idea of, you know, actually having a chance of spring upset. But right now, like, if college basketball teams were stocks, I would buy on this team right now. I do think that a lot of improvement is very possible here moving forward.
Good stuff. Hey, Joe, last thing before we let you run. We're having a debate on the show today about the value of taking phone calls from the audience on sports radio. And actually, this stemmed from the incident the other day when our phones went dead right before we were about to talk to you, and we couldn't take calls, and I had to talk to Bear and Trey for about an hour and a half. It was miserable. I'm sure you listen to a little sports radio. What do you think? Do you like listening to a show that takes calls from the audience, or do you like shows that just the hosts talk to themselves or have guests on?
I like the calls from the audience, and that's in doing shows too. I always like that. I mean, obviously you're going to have your random just out of left field stuff, but I don't know. To me, it's all a conversation, and if you want to engage people, I think you want to open those phone lines some. And I think especially on days where there's something that happens that's, you know, controversial, or there's a huge win or huge loss, I think the passion of the fans, I mean, that's really where you hear it, is when you take those calls. So I'm big thumbs up on taking the calls.
All right, agreed. Well put. Joe, thanks a lot. We'll read you at The Athletic, at Joe Rex Road on Twitter. Have a great weekend, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Russell. Appreciate it, man.
Joe Rex Road making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. He makes a good point. Like, after a big event, and see, some people don't like to take calls would probably say, well, after a big event, I have a lot to say, and I want to talk about it. I like to hear what the people have to say. Like, I know what I think, and I can probably, you know, give you my take pretty quickly in 5 minutes.
I'm pro phone call. I'm that option three. Pro phone call, but I think that you've been a little lax with some callers. The
firm hand of discipline needs to come down.
I think you need to crack the whip a little bit.
Okay.
You've indulged some of our callers just a little too much. And I want to add that I've warned you about this.
Okay.
Repeatedly.
So we're halfway through, 4:30.
Okay.
For the first time this afternoon.
You opening the phones?
We're going to open up the phone lines.
All right.
865-546-8200. You don't have to like make it 30 seconds, but we might shuffle you along. Yeah, after a minute or two, you've made your point. We might shuffle you along. We're just going to instill some much needed discipline to this show.
Now, I'll tell you who I don't expect to call, because he's been dodging you now, is one Jamie, Utah.
Oh, I mean, I don't care. Anybody's welcome.
Well, I don't think he will, though.
Quite frankly, I would prefer to hear from some new callers. Just my
and
personal
can I say
opinion.
Like. We're all doing really well. You don't have to ask us.
I don't mind that. That's just being polite.
I've never minded that, as long as it's a quick, you know.
But when you're listening, it's greeting. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You don't have to ask Bear and Hayden and Russ and myself. We're all good, man.
Yeah, you never know.
You don't know.
Because sometimes I'm not.
Some days I'm in here, and this is the last place I want to be. I've been in here doing a show just completely miserable.
Is that what you're going to say, though? If they're like, hey, how are you, Russ? I am miserable.
We've done it. Some of our biggest fights that started. I was doing good until I came in here and had to start talking to this idiot next to me.
Or after voluntary reaction, like we've just lost after the BYU game. Hey, guys, how's it going? We're miserable. We're awful. We're at the threshold of hell. How do you think we're doing? Oh, sorry. Like, yeah, just go ahead and get into it. Quick timeouts. The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue.
Goes like this. This is The Drive.
I love this song. This is Emotional Rescue.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Rolling Stones, like their disco phase.
Yeah,
all but coked up. I mean, like,
yeah.
Singing just pure falsetto.
But it's still cool. I don't think it's that disco, but...
Oh, dude.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound goofy like... It's the Stones. It's cool. It doesn't sound goofy like some of those other rock bands that did disco songs. I'm looking at you, Kiss.
Kiss did a disco. Oh, yeah, they did a disco album.
Yeah, one of them, I've got it somewhere in here.
You want to play some?
What is it? I Was Made. Was it I Was Made for Loving You? I'll find it. I'll play it.
All right. You want to take a phone call?
Absolutely.
New and improved drive. Drive 2.0. New drive. It's like new Coke. It's new drive.
New Coke sucked.
Are you old enough to even remember it?
Yeah, I was born in 84.
No, I'm just contemplating. He's right. I mean, what does this mean?
I remember it. Maybe it's Crystal Pepsi I'm thinking of.
To go back, I didn't be Crystal Pepsi. No, because
New Coke sucked. Yeah,
New Coke sucked, but it was only on the market for like 3 months.
Yeah, because it sucked so bad they had to take it off.
I'm somehow doubting your mom when you were probably, how old are you?
I'm thinking
Crystal
30,
Pepsi was.
I was thinking Crystal Pepsi. I'm thinking Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way. Not unless your mom was putting in your baby bottle.
Do you remember when Pepsi had that thing where if you opened it up, a dollar, like money would shoot up? Do you remember that?
What?
Like you open the can and it was like a spring. Yeah,
and
look
I
it
promise
up.
You, look I know up. That I've drank more Pepsi than probably anybody within the sound
You're
of my voice
Pepsi.
Right now.
I'm a Pepsi guy.
Really?
Yeah, I prefer Pepsi over Coke.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Wow. Mm-hmm. Coke's a beverage of Georgia Bulldogs. You go ahead and marinate on that for a minute.
I mean, Thompson Bowling and Neyland serve Coke products as well.
Yeah, but they don't taste like Coke out of a fountain.
Willie, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
I'm pretty sure Willie just hung up on us.
All right.
Wow.
This phone calls are not going really good.
New drive. Off to a banging start.
Same as the old drive.
Willie, obviously a Coke fan.
Firing out of the gates, hitting on all cylinders here this afternoon. Yeah, that's.
I was interested in what he had to say. I can tell you he was probably going to have a lot of praise for the incredible Folk. John Fulkerson. Yeah, that's his guy.
Yeah.
Willie loves him some Fulkerson.
How is Fulkerson going to do against Azubuki tomorrow?
It'll be pawns.
I
think so. Well, that's interesting.
Because he'll push Fulkerson all
stronger.
Around that floor. Yeah.
I mean, do you just turn Yurosh into a hatchet man tomorrow?
Just let him just stand there with his hands up in the air, just like this.
I was thinking more, you know.
I mean, we
take
we
a couple
were,
of fouls and
we were
hit
able
him
to
hard.
Get Azubuki in big foul trouble last year. That was a key to us being in that game. We should have won that game.
Grant, the Magic cans were special mechanical cans used by the Coca-Cola Company.
Back on this now.
In the summer of 1990. The promotion, some Coca-Cola cans had cash prizes or gift certificates inside that were spring-loaded and would pop out of the opening of the can when opened.
Was the soda in the can, too?
Yes.
So how did it not get wet? Was it in like
sure
a tube?
Probably. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
The total giveaway of cash and prizes was $4 million.
Think if you're Tennessee tomorrow... I think Azubuki is probably going to get his. That's a horrible matchup for. It's a dude 7 foot tall, 270 pounds. It's a horrible matchup for a lot of people. I can't believe he's still like. Why is that dude? Why did he not go to the draft? Surely somebody would have taken him.
I don't know, but I mean that's why I feel like we ought to put him in a chair in the first half.
Didn't he get in trouble last season after our game or something, or he got hurt or suspended?
Yeah,
or
I think he missed some time for something. But it's just a bad matchup for us. It might be one of those Jordan Rules type things where you know he's going to get his. You hope you can just do the best you can with him. And you make sure nobody else torches you. Can't let Dotson. That sounds like probably – I'd be shocked if it's not Jordan Bowden on Devin Dotson. And because I don't think – I mean, surely – I don't think Vescovi's going to do very well in that matchup. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, let's try these phones. We'll try this one more time. If this doesn't work, we're just no more phones. All right? Is that not to put any pressure on our next caller. But, John, you're on the drive. Fan Run Radio. Go ahead, John.
Hey, y'all. Yeah, I would say I'm probably in favor of taking calls. I really enjoy hearing Philly's calls on the way home from work. But maybe what you could do is just start blackballing certain callers that aren't very entertaining. It kind of be similar to whenever Abraham is like trying to convince God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, God, if I can find 100 righteous people that love you, will you not destroy the city? If you can find 10 people who actually enjoy John Tweet's calls, then by all means, keep taking them. But if not, X them out. That could be the new weekly poll question, is pick a serial caller, take a poll, and if less than 30% enjoy it, then you're out.
So it's like caller survivor, and we can vote somebody off the
island. More like Thunderdome.
I like it. Hunger Games.
Yeah, I go Thunderdome.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Appreciate the phone call.
We should take that to the
Council of Elders. Council of Elders and take it under consideration.
And we've got my favorite caller, one of the all-time greats, first ballot Hall of Famer for sure.
This is your favorite caller? You said you called Phil your favorite caller earlier.
Phil's a buddy of mine.
Willie, you're on the drive. Go ahead, Willie.
Hey, guys, I just got reconnected. Was that guy ripping John Tweet?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
My favorite caller.
Wow. Poor John Tweet. Kind of taking a beating on the show today.
Hey, guys. I was listening to Snooze and Notes before I flip it over to you guys. I had old Jesse Smithy or somebody on there kind of specializes in high school stuff. He's talking about the Whittle Springs Middle School. Those guys will be going to Fulton, won't they?
Yeah, Whittle Springs Middle School feeds into Fulton.
Seems like that would make sense.
Yeah, it's like a mile
away. They just completed a 24-0 season.
Now, I will say, Willie, you never know.
They're going to Fulton until Catholic comes over and recruits them.
No, we don't. Catholic is not notoriously recruited Whittle Springs. They don't recruit anymore. They really don't.
Huss don't have to do that anymore since he's hooked up Bobby Mays.
Bobby's got players off his team all over town. I mean, hell, he's got one of them's on IMG's team that's coming up here tomorrow.
If Bobby Mays' team had been, didn't Jordan Bowden play for Bobby Mays like when they were first starting?
I don't remember.
I wonder if he would have ended up at Catholic instead of Carter.
Oh, my God. I'd fight all of you guys anytime he said something negative about him.
Yeah, it would have been really obnoxious.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost bad enough, and he just went to Carter. You think we got a chance tomorrow, Willie?
Do what now? Oh, tomorrow? Yeah, I think we do.
What about your boy playing better this year?
Oh, Folky?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really looking good. I think Euros is going to be better than what people are giving him credit for. He's got a good little touch around the bucket.
Yeah, it was a pretty cold take from Russ on Euros.
What was my take on Euros?
You didn't think he was going to be that good, wasn't it?
I was told that he wasn't some sort of dynamic game changer, and I think that has been proven out through the first two games.
That's what I said, basically. I was just paraphrasing.
I think for us to really have a chance at the end of the game tomorrow, we're going to have to see the Vescovi that we saw the first game.
Yeah, where's that guy, man? He's tailed off. Has he hit the freshman wall after like two games? Is that what happened?
No. I think he's in Barnsley boot camp. And you know how they like my son went to Paris Island. First thing they do is they break you down.
Yeah,
and I think that's Barnes. That's what Barnes is doing to him. Barnes is going to have to let up on him, let the kid play, or we're going to be in the NIT.
I agree with that.
Were you in the service too, Willie?
No. I wish I had went. Yeah. Because I'd be retired.
You think you could have handled boot camp?
When I was that age, I could have handled anything.
I mean, you're talking about the guy that led the Greater Atlanta Softball League.
Big drill sergeant, just right up in your face screaming. They cut all your hair, take all your belongings away.
You hit 400 off left-handed pitchers, correct, Willie?
I hit right at 400 against all pitchers.
I usually hit
between 385 and 410 as the modified fast pitch.
Willie, thank you.
I was the only white guy on all black team.
Yeah, you were a trailblazer in the.
That's why they called you Snowball. Yes,
in the African American Atlanta, Greater Atlanta area snowball or softball league.
Hey, one question. Now, these new callers, don't you kind of need to get some new listeners where you can get some new callers?
It's a good point, Willie. Thank you for the phone call. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show this afternoon. We'll take a quick break. Yeah, I don't know, man. And callers come in. Now they start taking a shot at us. Did Willie add anything to the show today? We'll put that on the poll, at @Russell_Smith. Stay with us. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Citizens National.
On Fox Sports Knoxville.
Peyton Manning has weighed in on Eli's Hall of Fame candidacy.
What'd he say?
Did you see Eli's farewell speech earlier today?
No, but I saw a still shot from it, and I guess it's Peyton's nephew. He looks like Ginger Peyton. I mean, he's just like a little guy.
Is it Eli's kid?
Yeah, he's sitting on his wife's on his wife's lap, and it looks like Ginger Peyton.
His nephew has a wife?
His mom.
Yeah, he was sitting on his mom's lap.
Have you seen the footage of Arch?
Yes.
Rising sophomore down
there. It's
hard
to tell, though.
Newman.
It's hard to tell.
Hard to tell.
I mean, he looks good.
He looks good.
He's going to Ole Miss.
I'd want to see him without his helmet on, though. See if his head's abnormally large like Peyton's for the extra football knowledge.
It's weird. Like, ESPN did a long feature on him, and he's dropping back and throwing and everything, and it's eerie how much he looks like Peyton. Yeah. This is Cooper's son.
Yeah.
Arch Manning. It just finished his freshman season. And this is like a big, football factory down there in New Orleans.
Newman Prep.
And he went in there as a 14-year-old freshman and unseated like the senior starter on the team from day one.
Yeah.
And threw for a billion yards.
Yeah.
Peyton did the same thing.
Yeah.
He's going to go to Ole Miss. Let's not be stupid.
Who knows where he's going to end up going.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, if we can get good in the next 2 years and be better than Ole Miss.
I feel like we'd have a shot at him.
There'll be some pressure, but yeah, we have a shot.
Right now with the way things stand, I would expect him more to go to LSU before Ole Miss.
That's a good point.
If he's Cooper's son, Cooper went. He couldn't even play right at Ole Miss because of his
neck. I can't remember how much he played, but yeah, he had
stenosis.
Yeah, aggressive degenerative spinal stenosis.
I'm just not going to get my hopes up.
Peyton on Eli said, to me, it's the time to look back and reflect. Everybody else wants to look ahead and have this debate, and I understand that's just the world we live in. I know Eli doesn't think that, and I don't think like that either, but I certainly have my strong feelings and opinions on it. When you're the Super Bowl MVP twice against the greatest dynasty of all time, the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and you join a list that includes Terry Bradshaw, Bart Starr, Tom Brady, and Joe Montana, Eli Manning as the only multiple Super Bowl MVPs. I don't really know what that term drop the mic is, but I guess he's trying to say mic drop. But I guess if there was one, there really is no yeah, but after that. That kind of ends it. But if you want to but he also started 220-plus consecutive games. He's sixth or seventh all-time in touchdowns. It wasn't like he just played those two seasons. He answered the bell, played his butt off, won some huge games for his team. I have strong opinions on it, but I'm going to pull for Eli and live in the present and kind of look back, if you will, and not look too far ahead or get too worried about it. Peyton Manning on Eli's Hall of Fame chances.
He's definitely not a first ballot.
No, but he has a pretty good case, and I think he will get in, maybe second or third. But he's the interesting thing would be if he weren't Eli Manning, if he weren't Peyton's brother, he weren't Archie's son, if he were Eli Jones and he had the exact same career,
I think we'd still be talking about whether or not he hits the Hall.
Yeah, I think we'd be rings. Having. I think we'd be having the debate, but I think there'd be a lot more people who would be saying no. Super Bowl is always taking place on Sunday. A New York teen is attempting to change that. 16-year-old Frank Ruggieri has started a petition on change.org to get the Super Bowl moved to Saturday going forward.
We talked about that on Overtime last night. I think it's stupid.
I love it.
Dumb.
I think it's great, man. And make it a national holiday, Super Bowl Saturday. You've already got an extra week to prepare. So why not just go ahead and have it on Saturday, and then everybody can take the next day off to recover. A 2019 survey from the Workforce Institute predicted that a record 17.2 million people will call out of work following Super Bowl. What's LIV? What is it this year? 54? So we'll see. 17 million people missing work the next day because of the Super Bowl. You ever miss work because of the Super Bowl?
No.
No?
Have you ever just called into work and said you were sick, but you weren't sick?
Yeah, I think everybody's done that.
I've never done that.
Really?
Never. Now, like in college, yeah, like I just went and go. I don't feel good, but
You never fake called in sick?
Never.
Mm-mm. Hayden's like, I'm thinking about faking illness right now just to leave. Yeah, man, I think most of it is just people hung over, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But the game doesn't even end that late, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like it's the national championship ended at like midnight.
Yeah, but people end up partying afterwards.
Yeah.
I almost bit the last, this is why I don't really drink during the Super Bowl anymore, is that one, the one that your Packers won against mm-hmm. the Steelers a couple mm-hmm. of years ago. I was at a Super Bowl party with some guys I was doing radio with. There were a bunch of I'm not going to name drop on you, but there were some big name like VFLs there. And so like I'm watching the game and I have like a beer or two during the game and maybe a little bit loosey goosey. But then I'm like hanging out with these dudes afterwards, and all of a sudden like shots start going around. And there are more beers. At one point, there was champagne. Like, somebody was like, let's get some Cristal up in here. And it was, like, happening. So I'm not leaving this kind of bar. I'm never at parties like this, right? Big mistake. Big mistake.
Go Pack.
I had a 3 o'clock show to do the next day. And I'm coming in there. Oh, man, just in bad shape. Tore up. Hadn't eaten anything all day. Probably still sweating the alcohol out. Yeah. Super Bowl Saturday, man. I'm for it. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up. We'll get you top 5 at 5 when we continue right here on Fan Run Radio.